afternoon, evening, and welcome. You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. Hour one of the broadcast here on this Thursday, the 21st of December, 2023. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Solstice. That's right. We have a holiday, don't we, folks? So this will be a special holiday broadcast, Beyond the Official Solstice. And I have with me an excellent choice of co-host for this holiday, Mr. Stephen Douglas Whitener of RBN. Stephen, welcome, sir.
Howdy, Richard. Can you hear me okay?
You sound good. Five by
good.
Five.
All right. Terrific. Thank you.
And how are you tonight, Stephen?
Oh, I'm terrific, man. I'm doing great. Yeah, thanks for asking me. It's a great day. I'm enjoying the solstice very much.
No, that's a really great thing. I'm glad to hear that. Uh-huh. And we have a special guest with us tonight, folks. And I do want to point out, you know, that it's amazing how much everything that this holiday means is twisted. I mean, European religions are, demonized, quite frankly, European traditional religions. And, the religions of our folk, you know, frankly, the timeline of Caucasian, Aryan, you know, Nordic religions, and how actually sun worship, the solstice, recognition of equinox as well. It seems to just recognize the full life cycle, I find. But I found someone who will have a very interesting set of information I chose for this topic today. You've had him, heard him on RBN on my broadcast, and actually recently on RBN, but he's been in radio for quite a long time, going back, for quite a many networks, for that matter. We have none other than Mr. Michael Sledge here today, folks. Mike, thanks for being here, and happy solstice, brother.
Happy solstice to you guys, and am I coming through okay? Do I sound all right?
Yeah.
Yeah, sound excellent. All right.
Здравствуй, товарищ.
Sounds good. Sounds good already. I love it.
and I mean, yeah, it's certainly a topic that you can appreciate, I know, Mike, but I mean, you've been aware about, you know, yeah, basically the Western religions, which aren't Abrahamic for some reason, are just completely demonized and a threat, it seems, the extent to which they're excluded from any mention or recognition whatsoever. So, yeah, this winter solstice, I definitely thought you would have an interesting set of insights. And even looking at the whole timeline, I mean, the sun worship thing, here's what I have to say on it, okay? For me, sun worship can be interpreted in a great variety of ways, okay? But I can see the sun, for anyone on this planet, earthlings, as a symbol of beliefs in gods, you know, gods or God, if you like, whatever you, not a god or gods themselves, you know, that the sun is, you're thinking is, you know, it can, so it for me can represent that as well as a symbol of the metaphysical merging of true science and religion, you know, so what, and was not sun worship intertwined with most all of the European pagan traditional tribal religions to some degree, more or less intertwined with ancient Greek god belief systems. I would imagine ancient Roman god belief systems. You have the Babylonian period in there, overlapping as well, of course. And of course, going back to ancient Egypt, maybe we could start there. I mean, because you've also done a lot of research showing Aryan roots in the ancient Egyptians.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, look. You know, most of my family is Christian, and I have no problem with the Christmas holiday because 95% of Christmas is, you know, our ancestral roots, you know, putting up a tree, the evergreen tree, which is the only tree that doesn't lose its, you know, foliage in the winter and takes the rays of the sun and protects other life underneath it during the winter and protects it so that it won't die during the winter months. And the winter solstice, of course, today, which is what it is. And so all aspects of, you know, the quote unquote Christian Christmas are really 95% go back to our ancient European ancestral roots. So yeah, I have no problem saying Merry Christmas and Merry Christmas to everybody. I have no problem with that. And it's a great thing. I mean, when the church came on the scene, they simply, you know, when Constantine came on the scene and adopted the new form of Christianity and then merged all the other, I hate the word pagan, but for lack of a better word, our ancestral heritage, spiritualism, merged it together and put it under one roof, it was okay with me. You know, I have no problem with it. So happy Yule, Merry Christmas, and it's a great time of the year. I love it. And thanks for having me on, man. And it's a, you know, it's a time where we can all get along and come together because, frankly, you know, it is a great time of the year. And it all means the same thing. If even if people don't realize that it does, it all is the same thing because it's natural law. It's the glorification of the seasons and times of change and the seasons of change. And it's a beautiful thing. And so here we are in this solstice festival, my favorite time of the year, by the way. And then, of course, we will reemerge in the spring with Ishtar Osiris and Easter Ishtar and the resurrection of the Son of God, the S-O-N and the S-U-N of God, you know. And so it's a great time to be alive, man. And it's something that we can all agree upon. And it shouldn't divide us, you know, because the way I see it is that when we when we came together as an empire of our people, we conglomerated it all into one, you know. And so it really, there is no separation, really, during these holiday seasons. And when you look at it like that, Richard, it really is not a divisive thing at all. It just means that it's a beautiful time to be alive for the change of the seasons. And I'm glad to be here. And it's a great time to be here. It's a great time to be alive, man. And so that's the way I look at it, you know. No division, unity of our race and our people.
So. I love that. Everything you said there, that was such a remarkable, an admirable opening statement here. I'm already floored, and this shows why I'm, I knew I had a good gut impulse instinct to invite you on for this show, and since you touched at the start on, just the spirit of brotherhood with family and folk being what this is about, you know, the solstice holiday here. That is why. I mean, I know that, you know, over months and that, you know, there have been some people we've each interacted with who've had some issues, people related to RBN and issues and that. And, you know, you and I know you and Scorpio as well, I mean, have, you know, a sense of brotherhood, you know, any sort of issues or related to associations with others or whatever, we bury any hatchets. And this is a perfect time to re-solidify, you know, that sentiment. I just wanted to say on the air, because, you are my brother. And for a long time, I've certainly appreciated the path you've been blazing on the airwaves as well for our folk. And Stephen, I'm sure you'd like to respond to everything Mike said. And then after that, perhaps something you'd like to, throw at him, you know, for his response.
Yeah, thanks. I agree with about everything. You know, I appreciate all that very much. I appreciate the solstice so much. A year ago was when I set vows with my wife in a park. You know, we didn't register our slave papers with the state and the marriage until later on. But this is, to me, this is when this day was what mattered to me. And, you know, the rest of it I hadn't found. You know, that's just going to paint a big target on your back, too, I think, to go through with all that. That's you know what I'm talking about with the citizen and all that. I'm still complying as much as I have to, you know. It's breaking free from this thing is what we want to do. And if we can come together, like you said, is of folk and people. There'll be something, some remnant that remains here. And, you know,
And no divisiveness, you know, with Christians others among us. Yeah, exactly.
No, and yes, I agree. Yeah. Yeah. I professed Christianity most of my life. And, you know, I just don't publicly profess any religion anymore. This one means the most to me. This holiday here, this is my favorite time of year too. I always liked the solstice, the shortest day, and then I'll celebrate the other the equinoxes and the solstice too. That's always, I've been interested in that stuff since I was a kid. But you know, this has been celebrated long before there ever was a religion like that. It's like you said, it's nature's law. We're celebrating natural law here with that. I agree with that very much, and I like that point. Mike, you want to take off from there a little bit?
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, you know, there's been too much division in this movement, or whatever you want to call it, between Christians and people that aren't Christians that believe in more of the ancient ancestral European beliefs. And there really shouldn't be that divide, because we believe in the same thing at the end of the day. We just don't realize that. But, you know, because, you know, going back to the Scofield Study Bible and, you know, Christian Zionism in the 1880s, you know, going back to that time frame, they really warped everything and they created this divide. They Judaized Christianity to the point where it was, you know, they created this wall between, old-time Christianity and Christian Zionism and our ancient ancestral European beliefs. There really wasn't a divide there. You know, when the church came into play, they brought everything under the umbrella, and that's where you got the religion of the original Christianity. It was the merging of the ancient European ancestral beliefs with the new beliefs of Jesus and that kind of thing. And it shouldn't be a dividing mark. It should be a unifying factor. But the thing is that they put this wall in there, a wailing wall of division with the Scofield Study Bible and all that, and the creation of Christian Zionism. And they created this wall, which I think has been detrimental to our people, because it really, it got us away from, natural law and the seasons and our ancestral beliefs. You know, like the Farmer's Almanac, for instance, is pure Aryan, you know, science, you know, the study of weather and seasons and moons and all this kind of stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. And, you know, there shouldn't be this division. And there was not a division on these topics until Scofield and Darbyism and all these Zionists came in and created this division within our people. That shouldn't be there at all. There's no reason why it should be. I can go to a church service, you know, on Sunday and feel right at home. It doesn't bother me at all. Or I can, you know, do my ancestral spiritualism stuff that I believe in, and I see no difference in the two at all. I feel like they are the same thing. And there should not be these divisions. And so my message today, Richard, is that, you know, these divisions not exist. And in this season of solstice in Yule, it's a time for all of us to come together as one people and say, you know, we're not going to be divided anymore as a people. We're tired of the divisions. We believe in the same natural law, morality, and I think that's all that matters at the end of the day. And I'm so glad you invited me on to talk about this, because it's a very important topic, and I think it's something that we can come together on. So if that makes sense, you know.
No, yeah, it's the single easiest way for our people to remain divided. And our enemy, I think, knows that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Like I say, you know, I go to church still, you know, with my son and stuff and other family members. I got no problem going to church, you know. I'm not a Christian per se, but it doesn't offend me or bother me, because at the end of the day, it's the same thing. It's written out and taught in a different form. But it's the same thing. It's natural law, man. And here we live in a time of the Jewish inversion, where they're trying to turn everything upside down and go against natural law. And the one thing I can say to everybody listening is that when you go against natural law, you suffer the consequences. You know, our European belief systems and our spirituality has never changed. It's always been based upon natural law, and that which is natural is the right way and the only way. And if you believe that, it doesn't matter whether you want to call it the Ten Commandments or our ancestral heritage. It doesn't matter to me. It's natural law. It's morality. It's right and wrong. Don't steal. Don't kill. Don't rip. Don't screw anybody over. These are things that matter. And in this time of the year, you know, that's all that matters to me. And there's no reason why we all can't come together as one people. And I think we're getting better at it, frankly, you know. So that's my.
A lot of excellent ways of putting things there. I mean, and as far as the way of dividing and separating a lot of these things engineered in our society, I'd say separating the spiritual from the scientific, you know, so or mm-hmm. Perhaps you'd say the scientific from the metaphysical. And that would be like a strong way, you know, to keep your pseudoscience and detrimental, belief systems oppressing the people. That's kind of how I mean, it's interesting. You have New Year's, which is celebrating, the cycle of where we live here, of life. And you have the Christmas holiday a handful of days earlier, about a week earlier, you know, on the calendar, you know. And that, and, well, instead of the 31st, first, you have the 25th, is representing the religion and the God, that is here. And it, of course, it's been pointed out to me, I mean, the solstice, it actually takes about 3 days before the sun actually gives you longer amount of light, you know, per day, you know, where we actually notice longer days. So that would be right around the 25th, actually. And you mentioned, S-U-N and S-O-N, and just how a lot of these things, but, you know, I don't want to, you know, there's no point in stressing things that are just going to, seem like we're trying to be harmful to Christian belief systems. I'm trying to phrase things in a good middle ground way here, but yeah.
It doesn't matter. At the end of the day, Richard, it doesn't matter whether you believe in Jesus as an entity or you believe in natural law, because we believe in the same thing. It really doesn't matter to me whether you believe in the symbolism or the other way. At the end of the day, we believe in the same thing. And it's just a different way of expressing is what I'm trying to say. And, it took me years to come to this conclusion, you know. It's, because for a long time I would get mad. I say, oh, God, these Christians and this kind of thing. You know, but that's really counterproductive and it's stupid because.
I remember I've spent a lot of years growing up feeling that way, too. I mean, I felt after coming out of Catholic school, I mean, I felt even more that way. And then in recent years hearing Charles Giuliani, how resentful he was. I hear the music, though. Here, we'll talk more about this on the other side, brother. You know it'll work all right. Baby, be good. Do what you should. You know it'll be alright.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free-range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Back, folks, beyond the official solstice here on this holiday, Richard Carey with co-host Stephen Douglas Weitner and special guest Michael Sledge. And Mike, yeah, Charles Giuliani, you know, we've been on the same platform that was shared with him. You on two platforms, as he was on before Renegade Broadcasting, way back. Charles was on Oracle as well, as were you. And I mean, yeah, he went to seminary school, you know, he almost became a priest or a brother or something. So, I mean, you know, I don't know. So that's a perfect example of what you're talking about, what you want to avoid. And yeah, I went through that phase, you know, being a young, musician, kind of rejecting the, what I saw as how manipulative. And I don't want to get into the whole Abrahamic religions thing, but I don't know. How would you add to that?
Well, yeah, I did shows with Charles, many shows where I was hardcore, you know, against Christianity and this kind of thing. And I was really, you know, mad at it and this kind of thing. But, you know, the older I get, I realize, hey, there's nothing to be mad about. I mean, when you realize that modern day Christianity is, for lack of a better word, paganism. I hate to use that word because I hate the word pagan because it's so fucking stupid. Sorry for the cuss word.
Yeah, but, I don't. Please.
But it's a horrible word, and I don't like it. And the hate and vitriol that we did back in those shows divided our people up, and it was unnecessary. Because at the end of the day, if they want to believe in the scriptures and the way they see it, and I went to seminary too, by the way. So I almost became a minister. You know, at one point, I was a hardcore believer in the Bible and this kind of thing. And so me and him kind of had similar backgrounds, but at the end of the day, you know, as I get older, I realize that, hey, there's nothing, you know, what they believe in that book is the same thing I'm saying now. It's just in a different form. Whether they want to acknowledge it or not is cool with me. So it really doesn't bother me anymore. You know, it really has no effect on me in that way anymore because it's the same story. It's just put in a different dressing. You know, Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of God, the 12 disciples, the 12 houses of the zodiac, the seasons, you know, the winter solstice, going into the spring, the resurrection, you know, 33, you know, being the time of ministry, the 33 degrees of the sun. The sun walks on water. When the sun rises, of course it does. When it, the rays of the sun always walk on water, you know. Nope. If it wouldn't be for the sun, we'd all be dead, you know, this kind of thing. So,
but you talk about how much it's been, well, and Schofield had a lot to do with it, how it's been, you know, very much twisted more and more to manipulate into a different form, you know, the mindset of the believers. And I mean, it won't look how non-racially aware, for example, current Christianity is, both to its detriment in keeping our culture, you know, and our actual people and countries, and also just, you know, the infiltration from the tribe, of course, you know, Jewish power manipulating. And of course, just the whole, a lot of people talk about the whole, you know, turn the other cheek thing too, as opposed to the, well, a lot of the old European folk religions, gods would certainly expect you to have a more vengeful.
Well,
I hate to say, but yeah, it would be kind of like that Old Testament more.
Well, you know, prior to Schofield and Darbyism and you know, and all that in the late 1800s to 1880s, you know, there was no Christian Zionism. You know, that became the Judaization of Christianity really occurred with the Schofield Study Bible. That's when it really was set in stone with the advent of Zionism. Prior to that, Christianity really was still European in nature, because it took in all the ancestral heritages that we had, you know, and combined it under the umbrella of Christianity. But it was still, you know, for lack of a better word, I hate to use the word paganism, as I said, because it's so stupid, but it was basically our same ancestral knowledge just put under the banner, under Constantine, under the banner of Christianity. It wasn't really Judaized hardcore until Schofield, you know, and Darbyism.
Well, Mike, don't you? Don't you think it goes a little farther back to the Unitarian and Transcendentalist even before that it was getting that way?
Oh, yeah. I would totally agree with you on that. But, you know, I mean, you know, we can get into that. But
where it really shifted was with Schofield.
Yeah.
There was no rapture doctrine before that, was there?
Well, you know, the rapture doctrine was totally created by Darby. There was no rapture doctrine prior to that. And that was a new thing. You know, the rapture is a total lie. They used the Galatians text to preach the rapture, when in Matthew, because I know the Bible inside and out, in Matthew, if you read Matthew correctly, it says, after the tribulation, the dead shall rise to Christ. It says literally after the tribulation. There is no pre-trib rapture. That was a total heresy that was brought into effect under Darby and Schofield Bible, which didn't exist before then. In the modern evangelical movement, you know, pushed that. And I hear the music, so.
Yeah, let's continue this on the other side.
Yeah.
We'll be back.
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Black Owl Coffee, and I started Black Owl because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee. It's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. After taking Extendivite for about 6 months, I've noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from the carpal tunnel syndrome. I will continue to buy product. This formula is very powerful. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure is stabilized, my lower edema has reduced, and lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. This product has relieved what appears to be an angina problem, pain in the chest after climbing stairs and short on breath. I'm quite happy about it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home.
Email Tom at republicbroadcasting.org. T-O-M at republicbroadcasting.org.
Let there be more light. Welcome back, folks, to Beyond the Official Solstice. Host Richard Carey here on Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. We have the John Stadmiller book drive for the second year in a row. And so we have a few weeks left here through January 7th. You give a $100 donation or more. You know, mention you want to be in the book drive. And for these following weeks, each week you'll have your name in the fishbowl to possibly have a choice, a selection previously owned by John Stadmiller himself from his personal library. And this week's book, The Antichrist and a Cup of Tea, written by Tim Cohen, signed by the author himself to John Stadmiller. And so that's a, you know, a very nice example of the books that are being offered here. You definitely want to take advantage of that. So, yeah, $100 or more, folks, and the holidays could really help keep free speech alive here at the canary in the coal mine of free speech, RBN. And, of course, you could call 800-724-2719, extension 3. That's 800-724-2719, extension 3. Or you could mail to Republic Broadcasting Network and make that check or money order out to RBN, or maybe just cash with some tinfoil there. Make out to RBN, send to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. And we will greatly appreciate it. Of course, online at the donate page, you could use PayPal as well. But you'd have to make sure you let us know you want to be in the John Stadmiller book drive if you do it that way, obviously. And so, well, I don't know. Stephen, you know, we're here, of course, with guest Mike Sludge. And Stephen, You mentioned some of these other eras, like the Transcendental and other. Maybe you could mention those a little more now we have a longer segment, and then let Mike comment on them.
Well, that's the way I understand it, that churches in the north.
Could you speak a little louder?
Wait. How about?
There you go.
I don't know. Is that better?
Yeah, that's better. But no, what was the actual thing? Could you rephrase what you said to Mike?
Oh, yeah, before the first Bolshevik Revolution, otherwise called the Civil War, that they had started taking over the churches in the north, is my understanding. And I'll let Mike talk about that more if you want to go from there with how it changed.
But you mentioned the Transcendental. The first thing you said.
Transcendental and Unitarian, those two things were those were movements up there, and then in 1948 all of the Marxists came in from the failed revolutions in Europe, and it went from there, you know. And I don't know that you can. Yeah, go ahead, Mike.
Well, as far as the transcendentalism coming into play in the Christianity movement, I would say this. The Bible itself is an allegorical portrayal of dualism that is really based on transcendentalism, in my opinion. I mean, going back to Genesis, for instance, the snake and the tree of life and the forbidden fruit, that is an allegorical play on the male and female energy. Adam, a.k.a. atom, or the basis of life, the atom of life, and the serpent being the kundalini serpent at the base of the spine that rises up over the 32 vertebrae to the 33, of course, being the pineal gland. Slithering around that is the forbidden fruit, which is the pineal gland, which is that whole story is an allegory for not, because the priesthood class did not want the average person to know that they themselves could seek higher power, could seek their own godhead through transcendentalism, if you want to put it that way. And it was hidden in an allegorical story for many years. So I would say that the story of Genesis with the serpent and the female energies and the forbidden fruit is an allegory for a kundalini meditation and rising up to godhead, which they wanted to keep from the people, because once you reach that level of spiritualism, it makes you free from the material world and free from the priesthood class. And so it was wrapped in allegory, the serpent, Satan, knowledge, the tree of life. And so the Bible is important. I don't throw it out, because it's an important allegorical story. And many stories in there are allegorical upon spiritualism that really, you know, you have to understand that during that time you had the Silk Road. You had many Eastern philosophies coming into Palestine at the time, which would have been where, you know, that concept would have been written. You had the Greek, you had the Aramaic, but it was all, you know, based upon allegory, the priesthood class concealed from the masses, because they did not want masses to achieve spiritual freedom from the church or the rabbinical class, you know. And so when I look at a book of Genesis, you know, it's very interesting, because, you know, the serpent really represents the kundalini snake rising up the spine through power meditation to the godhead, the pineal gland, the forbidden fruit, the male and female energies combined. And of course they had to demonize the female energy, because the church, of course, was a male dominated, and they couldn't allow that to be in there. So you know, so, and then when you get into the New Testament, you see the same thing with the teachings of Jesus. It really was transcendental, if you want to know the truth. You know, the only way
that
to the
be born again reminds me of that. You know, to go back into your the rebirth, to enter in. And it's also, there's a lot of the astrology, the zodiac there embedded in the New Testament, from the way I understand it.
Absolutely. The only way
the
to the Father
of Aquarius and all that. Yeah.
Yes. you know, the only way to, you know, I'm the Piscean age. The one after me will be the man with water, which is clearly the Aquarian age. Jesus taught that in the New Testament in the book of Matthew. Also, you know, the only way to the Father is through me. Well, he was saying, you know, you could tear down the temple and it can be rebuilt, but the temple is not a structure. It's within you. The only way to the Father is within me, which he was using as a parable, which means you. So the whole thing really is transcendentalism. And this is very important to understand. I used to argue with Christians on this because they thought I was a heretic, but I don't argue no more. I say, if you want to believe the way that's written, go ahead, because it's the same thing that I believe. Okay, it's the same thing. I don't argue anymore. But it's a book of allegory. It's a book of parables. It's written code. And those of us that understand it, understand it. But it is not contradictory to our ancient European ancestral beliefs. It's the same thing. It was just, you know, worded differently. And then, of course, it was radicalized under the Scofield Bible and Zionized. And that's where the main division came out, you know, from. But, you know, ultimately, you know, it's the same thing. You know, I've read the Bhagavad Gita, you know, mm-hmm. and I cannot stress enough for those listening, the Indo-European is a great book. You know, the fact that, you know, if you want to read a pure Aryan text of spiritual knowledge, the Bhagavad Gita, you know, that's not, that was original Aryan spiritualism, which predates the Bible, by the way, Judaism, Christianity, all of that, you know, and it's the same thing, you know, Krishna, same thing as the Christ, you know, and Christ simply means anointed one. That is not, you know, a lot of these people in America believe that Jesus Christ, like that's his first and last name, like his last name was Christ. No, Christ is a title, which means anointed one. You know, there have been many Christ even before Jesus, you know, in the New Testament. So, you know, but it's all allegory. And if you can't understand the allegory, well, you know, it's kind of like Johnny Appleseed and this kind of thing. You know, you're really not understanding the real code of the scripture. And, you know, it's still a great book.
That all does kind of make sense to me, but I've told you probably haven't heard me say this, Mike, but I did try sitting through some church services with a family member, and the guy was, you know, it was okay. It was a Pentecostal kind of thing, but then at one day he said, over the years, that church had given $1 million to Israel, and it just like, oh man, just got not coming. I mean, there was no flag there, at least, you know, or anything like that. But that just was like, And I can't think of a church in the country that's not a 501c3. That's what, if I could, I guess we're going to have to start one, huh? I don't know. I don't know of one that you could get, a way you could get around that. You know, that's, you know, that well, seems to me the, like.
What about cosmotheism? I bet cosmotheism isn't a 501c3.
Is it or isn't it? I wonder. That's a good question.
I can't imagine.
I don't know. I'll have to do some investigation on that because that's an interesting question. Yeah.
Look at the Bible, it is an allegorical book of symbolism that represents, you know, transcendentalism, to be honest with you. Being born again, which means ego death. You know, it means getting rid of the ego, being born again into a new life where you transcend your old sins and your old way of living to a certain extent, and you become a better person for that. And there's nothing wrong with that. But a lot of people take the stories of the Bible literally, you know, when if you look at it from an archaeological perspective or whatever, those stories come from all different kinds of books, the Book of the Dead, Greek text, Bhagavad Gita, Hindu text, before that, Sanatana Dharma. It's a pastiche of all kinds of earlier spiritual writings that they combined and then created a new religion for the Roman Empire, frankly. I mean, to be honest with you, that's what they did. You can get into the Piso family, and their influence on the New Testament, which is a very interesting topic, Richard, that you ought to bring up an expert at sometimes. Or I could come on. the peace really bankrolled the New Testament or under the Roman Empire. Modern-day Christianity was over 200 years after the so-called crucifixion and brought to play, and it was financed by the Piso family and this kind of thing. So, the whole book, a lot of people don't understand, when you read spiritual texts or esoteric texts, they're not meant to be face value. They're meant to be, they're esoteric because they're meant to be spiritual texts that are parables and stories that have a deeper moral meaning. That's fine. But a lot of people to this day believe the Bible word for word as this is going to happen, that's going to happen. For instance, the book of Revelations, the mark of the beast, 666. Well, when that was written by John the Revelator, in the New Testament, Nero's throne was 666. So when he was cast to the island of Patmos, he was writing a story about the already tyrannical system of Rome under Nero, whose throne was 666. Okay. It was not meant to be a book for now. It's something that already has taken place. And that gets us into dispensationalism and preterism and all this kind of stuff, biblically speaking. Believe in preterism in that, the scripture was already fulfilled. I believe they were writing about what they lived in at that time, and it really has no bearing on what we live in today, other than history repeats itself because they follow the same script, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, I have to agree with all of that. I mean, I remember the late great Planet Earth coming out with Hal Lindsey, and all that back when I was a kid. You probably weren't even born yet, but it was all this Armageddon coming kind of thing, so took me. I used to follow that line of thinking some, and then there was no. We all have a lot in common with their. Thinking process, I'll say, the way that it evolved over time. I wanted to mention that I never thought of the Christ story and the born again story in terms of being born again like that, like you described, until I was reading this book called The Presence Process, and that's Michael Brown. I couldn't remember that author the other day when we were talking. Mike, you mentioned the other guy that wrote The Power of Now. But it's the similar kind of thing. But I never thought of it in those terms until I was reading this thing. And it just seemed like it matched up and it made sense to me all of a sudden, And I haven't, and that was my only experience with any kind of organized, quote unquote, religion in quite a while, except for dropping in on Lorraine Day's Bible study the night after she got kicked off of Zoom once. It's been quite a while, Yeah.
The whole point is. The 501c3 church, the organized religion, wants to destroy what the original intent of the Bible really was, or any religious text. It's all about ego death and killing off your old self and becoming a new and enlightened person. That is what born again means. When you can rise above the material world, the flesh world, and become more into the spiritual realm, the transcendental realm. And, but what the 501c3 church has done is totally distorted that and covered it up and monetized it to the point where it's, ridiculous. But when you really get down to brass tacks, it's all the same thing. Whether you get into Sanatana Dharma, Bhagavad Gita, Mithraism, I hear the music.
But looking forward to hour two, but we have a final segment here. Stick around, folks. We'll be right back.
Wash it away. Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus does not grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
And we are back beyond the official solstice holiday broadcast on Republic Broadcasting Network. Richard Carey here with Stephen Douglas Weitener and Michael Sledge. And, well, a side note, I mean, I should point out Charles Giuliani was on Republic Broadcasting Network at one point in the past. It goes back quite a while. I don't know, someone might be aware of, remember having tuned in that era. But so anyway, we just have a short segment here. I don't know. Well, Stephen, is there anything else you wanted to ask Mike to clarify from this, the content in hour one?
Oh, man, let me think back to... you said this is transcendental, and we were talking about the Bhagavad Gita being similar as well. And when you talked, okay, you mentioned Genesis. The Book of Enoch is older than Genesis, isn't it, Mike? Is the book?
The Book of Enoch goes even deeper into what I'm talking about. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. And I think it, I mean, it was written first too, right? That tells quite a different story.
And that's the reason why it wasn't allowed in the canon. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Makes perfect want sense. In there because
it showed you that the true thing is ego death and, you know, achieving Godhead. And they didn't want the average Joe to realize that. So they kept it out. You know, much of the Apocrypha, by the way, is the same thing. There's a lot in the Apocrypha that was great. That was not, you know, allowed in the Bible, you know, at the canon, because it had the spiritual enlightenment of self-empowerment that they didn't want in there. Because remember, the church became a state apparatus that was used to keep people down and not liberate people spiritually. It was used to keep people down. So they would not want those books in there that taught self-liberation, you know, in achieving Godhead. So they let that out. The Apocrypha, I would recommend the Book of Enoch, the Apocrypha. Great books, by the way. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay, and when that happened, they decided on the canon. It was almost like the church was married with the former empire, it seems.
Absolutely.
They put the apparatus of empire that remained in place in the church, and instead of enforcing it with soldiers, it was with the priests, and it really got very poor, I guess.
The priesthood used to be the almighty power of the state prior to what we have now, and like this more secular system we live under. The priesthood class used to be where all the power was, you know. And I used to do shows on fire, you know. You know, it was the concept of fire. Here's the music. Do I hear the music?
Yeah. No, it's pretty interesting. I don't know if it's my end or yours. Just to be safe, maybe we should try reconnecting at the top of the hour, Mike. Maybe you and, I don't know, or if me as well, if the producer thinks so. But we'll be right back, folks. Stick around for hour two. And please support us here at republicbroadcasting.org. We'll be right back.
Einstein once said, "Future medicine will be the medicine of frequencies." What did he know? Imagine you hear ocean waves caressing a beach, or a favorite song from the past, or the trickle of the babbling brook. All of these are sound frequencies that positively affect us. Terahertz is a soothing, healing frequency that has been proven to resonate at the same frequency as healthy cells. It penetrates the body and stimulates new healthy cell growth. Want to diminish muscle aches, joint pains, and experience a greater sense of well-being? Tired of spending money on short-term remedies that never seem to work? Soothing, healing, relaxing terahertz frequency is now available and as handy as flipping a switch. Terahertz technology is changing the course of what we were taught about how to maintain our health and well-being. To learn more about this amazing breakthrough, go to naturalearthmedicine.com. That's naturalearthmedicine.com.
You can't handle the truth.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit republicbroadcasting.org today because you can handle the truth.